Now, if you would please, let us continue to prepare our hearts for worship by singing our hymn of preparation, which you will find on the top inside of your bulletin. The newsletter this week, as well as your bulletin, two insets in your bulletin, are talking about the activities that we're planning ahead for the summer. You have two opportunities for Bible study this summer. If you will notice on the back of your bulletin, there are two listed. The first one will be beginning this Wednesday on the 25th, and then the second one will begin on the 6th, I believe. They will meet on the Wednesday night, and then the second one is going to begin June the 6th, and it will meet in homes. The first one will be in Kathy Kelly's home. You will also notice on the back of your bulletin that there's going to be a called church conference, as well as an administrative board meeting. The church conference is being called to deal with the subject of a parsonage. The purchase of a parsonage, and all who wish to speak or who would like to add something, please contact the church office so that you can be put on the agenda. If you have something you want to have someone else read or a comment you want to make, you need to get it to the church office in order to put it in the charge conference and then to deal with the administrative board right after that. Vacation Church School. They had the kickoff this morning, and it will begin June the 13th and go through the 17th. You will also note that annual conference will be held in June the 8th through the 12th. And a Main Streeters picnic that we have each year will be at 12 noon on June the 4th out at the Adams House. You might want to note in your newsletter, if you have not made a note of it until now, you can check at your newsletter, or if you've misplaced the newsletter and you don't get it electronically and keep it in your inbox, call the church office. There are three ways that you can help out folks in Alabama, in the Alabama Conference, ways that you can make certain that the money that you are giving will go directly to the folks in Alabama with the least lost in administration. If you have any concerns about sending money, there are all sorts of ways. If you read the newsletter and if you have any questions, you can call the church office. Now, let us continue our worship as the acolytes enter the sanctuary with the light of Christ.
Please stand for the call to worship. Gaze into heaven and see the glory of God. Lift up your eyes to behold the risen Christ. Indeed, you have tasted the goodness of God. You have known the presence of Christ, God's chosen one. Then let us lay our troubles at Christ's feet. Let us enter the sanctuary God prepares for us.
Join with me now praying the prayer of invocation as printed in your bulletin. Open your heavens to us, God of all worlds. We long for the pure spiritual milk you provide so we may grow into salvation. We are your people, sisters and brothers of your chosen one. Let us this day be built into a spiritual house, a community of your faithful people. Keep us from judging those whose views differ from our own, or from throwing stones at those with whom we disagree. Incline your ear to us and rescue us from ourselves. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's join together in professing our faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Be seated, please. We have those come forward for the Chad presentation of Chad Withers Scholarship.
Good morning. Reverend Martin and I were talking this morning, and he said that he didn't know much about the Chad Withers Scholarship, and we were thinking that maybe some in the congregation didn't know as much about it either. Years ago, there's a young man in this church, Chad Withers. He was just fun to watch growing up, watching him get in trouble just to turn around and get right back into trouble. But he was always a joy to be around. He was very respectful and very positive. He lost his life tragically in 94. The year after that, several of the members of the church set up a scholarship in his honor. And each year it is provided or gifted to the deserving rising senior. This year, it'll be presented by Colby Thorpe to the 2011 recipient.
As the 2010 Chad Withers Scholarship recipient, I have the honor to present Rakeem Rashawn Childs with the Chad Withers Scholarship.
I am Rakeem Rashawn Childs, and I'm honored to be taking the scholarship, and will be helpful throughout my college education. I thank you all.
The New Testament reading is from Acts chapter 7, verses 55 through 60. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Look, he said, I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. At this, they covered their ears, and yelling at the top of their voices, they rushed at him and dragged him out of the city and began to stone him. Meanwhile, the witnesses laid their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. While they were stoning him, Stephen prayed, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Then he fell on his knees and cried out, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. This is the word of the Lord.
Our Psalter reading for this morning is Psalm 31, verses 1 through 16. You can find this on page 764 in the hymnal. We will be using response number 2, which Joyce will play now. In you, O Lord, I seek refuge. Let me never be put to shame. In your righteousness, deliver me. You are indeed my rock and my fortress. For your name's sake, lead me and guide me. Into your hand I commend my spirit. You have redeemed me, O Lord, faithful God. I will rejoice and be glad in your steadfast love, because you have seen my affliction and have taken heed of my adversities. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am in distress. My eye is wasted from grief, my soul and body also. I am the scorn of all my adversaries, a horror to my neighbors, an object of dread to my acquaintances. Those who see me in the street flee from me. For I hear the whispering of many, terror all around, as they scheme together against me, as they plot to take my life. My times are in your hand. Deliver me from the hand of my enemies and persecutors.
The epistle reading is 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 2 through 10. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like the living stone, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Now to you who believe, this stone is precious, but to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the capstone, and a stone that causes men to stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. This is the word of the Lord.
To go to prayer at this time, remembering the needs that are before you in our bulletin, and we pray for these who have special needs this day, and for any that you may have within your heart, personal and private. We pray that God indeed will hear those as well. Let us be in an attitude of prayer. Holy God, on this Heritage Sunday, as we come to remember that great journey that we have been a part of, and that races through the ages, we thank you, dear God, for the times that we heard our grandmothers and grandfathers pray. We thank you, dear God, for those times when, though sometimes rebellious as children, we were brought to church. We're thankful for the way that the gospel of Christ took root within our lives, and for the privilege to share that heritage with those who come after us. So we pray, dear God, that you will give within our souls those whose lives are fertile soils to receive the good news of Christ, that those seeds will blossom into mature and fruitful bearing, so that their gospel of Christ will continue to go forward. For we know that where the gospel of Christ is heard and the seeds scattered, that they indeed will take root. Holy God, we come to you this day as well for needs that are evident by those written in our bulletin and by those within our own hearts. We pray, Almighty God, for healing, for courage, strength. We pray, dear God, that you indeed will continue to show yourself to be the God who hears and answers prayers. Help us, O God, to be willing recipients of your answers. We pray for any who may be here today who have not found a peaceful relationship with you, that this would be their day. Or for those listening by the means of the radio, that they too would come to a saving knowledge of Christ. Again, we pray for those who protect our highways and byways and our country and go wherever they're asked to go. Be with them. Soldiers, ministers, missionaries, those in leadership over our civil affairs and those in leadership over our spiritual well-being. And we pray as you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us worship the Lord now with our morning tithes and offerings. Ushers, would you come, please?
Thank you. gospel of Christ. Bless, give, and give those who have not, those who chose not to give this day. To you we give glory, honor, and praise. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
Please be seated, and we invite the children forward for the children's message.
How are y'all doing this morning? Would y'all help me do something right quick before we get started? We've got two graduates here that are graduating from high school, Amelia and Raheem. Would you join me in giving them a round of applause and saying congratulations? And I'm sure more will be said later, but I want to do that. I tell you what, I am so excited. I am fired up. I want to be a part of Vacation Bible School. I was looking at the newsletter and saw what it's going to be like. Hometown Nazareth, where Jesus was a kid. My goodness, that's exciting. Because, see, we don't know a whole lot about when Jesus was a kid, when Jesus was your age. We know about Jesus' birth, and we know about him as a very young baby. But then we don't hear about him again until he was 12 years old. So I think this is exciting. And I couldn't help but thinking how it might have been in Nazareth. It might have been just like it was on Irby Avenue in Lawrence when I was growing up. Can you see Jesus playing with his friends? Can you see him having fun? Can you see him going to each other's house and eating? Maybe one night they ate at Jesus' house, and then one day they had lunch at somebody else's house. We don't know what games they might have played, but y'all may talk about that in Vacation Bible School. But to me, this is exciting to think about Jesus as a kid. And you know, I just can't help but believe that there were some things that Jesus' parents, Mary and Joseph, told Jesus. Maybe very similar to some of the things that your parents tell you, and maybe very similar to what the parents or grandparents told our graduates when they were your age. But think about it. Jesus, your age, running around, having fun, having a good time. And I could see his parents saying, Jesus, do your best. Do your best. And we don't know what the schooling was like, but Jesus, do your best. Whatever you do, do your best. They were told that, and they did a great job of doing that. You, do your best. Do what's right. Jesus, you're going out to play. Do what's right. Do the right thing, as we know Jesus would. But then the one I want to really share with you today, Jesus, treat others the way you want to be treated. Treat others the way you want to be treated. How do you like to be treated? Somebody want to tell me something? How do you like to be treated?
Good.
Good? Okay.
Fairly.
Fairly. Very good.
I like to be treated friendly.
Friendly.
Yes, ma'am. Holler out, I'll say.
You forgot. Okay. Yes, sir. How do you like to be treated? Nice, exactly. And that's how we want to be treated. So that's how we need to treat other people. I tell you how I like to be treated. I like for people to smile at me. Would y'all smile at me? Make my day. Give me a smile. To smile at people, to treat them nice. Jesus, treat others the way you want to be treated. Of course, Jesus said that differently when he was an adult. You remember Jesus said, do unto others as you would like for them
to do to you.
Same thing.
But some of the same things that you're being told every day by your parents are probably the same things that Mary and Joseph told Jesus. Gosh, that's exciting. Jesus, when Jesus was a kid, oh, I'm fired up. I'm going to come one day. Y'all wouldn't mind if I came, would you? I would just like to come and be a part of that. Okay, would y'all join me with a word of prayer, please? Thank you, God, for Jesus. Thank you for Vacation Bible School, where we're going to learn more about Jesus. Amen. Thank y'all very much. Have a good day. And smile when you go back. Smile at somebody. It's contagious.
The gospel lesson this morning is found in the gospel according to John. Begin reading with the first verse of the 14th chapter. Hear now the reading of God's word. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I'm going. And Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way? And Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. And Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and we shall be satisfied. And Jesus said to him, Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, Show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I did not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly, I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these, because I'm going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it. Word of God for the people of God. You may be seated. Amelia and Rakim, we both, as a church, all of us as a church, support you this day and wish you the very best, not only in your academic work, but also in your spiritual development. And we pray that as you go forward, you will be an example of believers in the work that you do from this time forward. We will miss seeing you around when you go off to college, but we know you'll come back. You better. Anyway, on days like today, and when I read this passage of Scripture, I think about those words that I left with my children. And many times I think about the example that I was and that the example that I am to my children. And I try to convey to them the realities of a human being, and yet as a minister and one who loves his faith and loves his God and loves his church, and yet try not to push them overboard with it. And so when I see y'all, I think about the examples that we have shown you as a church and as people of faith. And I pray that you will remember to accept the good and forget the warts, and because we've all got them. As I look at this passage of Scripture and I think about Jesus and his disciples, and on this night, in just a few hours from this conversation, things were going to change dramatically. The disciples and Jesus had been this close-knit group, and they had been together on this journey of faith, and there were a lot of unrealistic expectations that individuals in this group had of Christ. Sometimes maybe like the expectations that people have of you in some of your areas of leadership. They had this concept of their destination, and it was not in any way where they thought it was going. And as a matter of fact, in just a few hours from now, in this reading, Jesus will be hanging on the cross. You can only imagine how they felt with that loss. And Jesus speaks these words, said, "Let not your hearts be troubled." How many times have we read that passage of Scripture at the grave of one of the saints of God, that we have come to the end of life's journey and we're speaking to the family and says, "Do not let your heart be troubled." Dr. Robinson, in speaking to Buncombe Street United Methodist Church, and he was talking about this passage of Scripture, and he said that 50% of the people worry about that which is past, 40% worry about the future, 10% worry about today. Charlie Brown said, "I have determined to be anxious about one day at a time." And so there are those issues in life that do create for us anxiety or distress, concerns. And yet Jesus is telling us here how to deal with those. To trust in Him. I remember at Emory, and they asked us to write about our journey of faith. Our journey of faith that brought us to the time of graduation at Emory, and the journey of faith that was going to carry us onward. Where did you start? And I wrote, I said, I started in my home. Jesus was that unseen guest all the time. Many times we would be looking at a family as a family at what we were going to purchase, and I can still hear Mom and Dad say, well, maybe God just doesn't want us to purchase that. Or maybe God doesn't want us to do that. Or maybe that is not God's will for us. I can remember there was always and continues to be that issue of being in God's will and responding to God's direction and trusting that wherever you are, that's where God wants you to be. If you'd have been those disciples on that night when Jesus was arrested, it would have been difficult to believe you were where God wanted you to be. If you reflect on the response of those disciples, you would agree. They did not comprehend that they were where God wanted them to be. They denied Him. They fled. Betrayed Him. All those things that disciples shouldn't have been doing, that's what they were doing. And you know, sometimes in the midst of life's turbulent struggles, it's difficult maybe, but reassuring still, to be able to say, God, in my heart, I believe I'm where you want me to be. God, in my heart, I believe you have led me to this point in time. God, I'm trusting in you. I'm not so sure that I can pray the prayer of serenity, but you have heard it and I've prayed it many times. God, give me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, to change the things that I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. And as we look at this passage of Scripture, and as we think about those times when we find ourselves, even in the midst of the storm, to be at peace, Jesus speaks to us 2,000 years later. He speaks to our graduates today, and He says, do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe in me. I think about those various ordeals that humanity has been through. The songs that we sing that were not always written on beautiful sunlit days, so to speak. They were written sometimes in the dark of struggling nights. Sometimes they were written after massive experience of conversion. And sometimes in the midst of struggles. Anytime one studies the history of the church and they study the writings and works of Martin Luther, we always remember that one day he felt the presence of Satan so strong in his room that he threw the inkwell at what he thought was a place where evil was abiding. And yet we credit him with starting the Protestant Reformation. Believe in God. Trust in Him. Dr. Robinson writes about being in a port in New York and seeing the Alexandria, this huge transport ship. And he said he realized that as they were boarding this ship, that this ship had huge compartments. And if one compartment was attacked and it started leaking, they had ways to seal it off so that the ship could continue on and wouldn't sink to the bottom. And maybe that speaks to us today. In our lives, to have compartments, to have those places in life where we can seal it off and continue our journey of faith. All of us have had our moments. All of us have been through our economic downturns, our upturns, our back and forths. We've all seen the struggles. We've been in the storms. We've been. And yet we continue to believe in God. For in the final analysis, Christ says, "In my house, there's plenty of room." In my house, and in reading this passage, it says, there's a big extended family. In my house, there are those that you have fellowship with and you relate to. In my house. In God's house, sometimes we have our differences. I heard years ago about the island of Mauritius. It's an island where people live, and there are Jews, Muslims, Christians, and others. And they have discovered something. They have discovered that when one doesn't work on Saturday, and one works on Saturday but doesn't work on Sunday, they have discovered that those who work on Saturday can be productive and those who work on Sunday can be productive. They have discovered that in all their different religions, that each one brings something to the table, and as an island and as a community, they can still have their convictions and still have their beliefs and still have their different ways of perceiving and still be a valid, functioning community. That their strength is in their getting along. Their strength and survival is in their working together to produce an economy in Mauritius. I submit to you today that as people of faith at Main Street, we may have our differences. But Jesus said, "I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. Let us follow Him, and let's not let our hearts be troubled." Amen. We would like to take this opportunity now to recognize our 211 graduates. Jessica.
Check, here we go. So we have Rakim and Amelia up here this morning, and I have had the honor and the privilege to watch them grow in their faith ever since they were in ninth grade. So it's kind of cool to be able to walk through their high school years with them. And we just want to give them a moment to say anything that they would like to say to you, to the congregation. So which one wants to go first?
I'll be going to Spartanburg Methodist College, and I will be majoring in law. And I just want to thank everybody for their support and love. And thank you.
All right. I'm going to Winthrop University. I'm still pretty unsure of what I'm majoring in. I want to thank you guys all for being a family to me and being a second home. So.
Thank you. And if we could just take a moment to congratulate them and give them a round of applause for their accomplishments. We would like to present them with a prayer shawl to take with them to college, and it has been blessed and weaved with prayers. So if there's ever a time that you feel like you're just really struggling, then take this prayer shawl and wrap it around you, and you will feel our presence and our prayers here at Main Street. So here is a prayer shawl given to you, and if you'd like to say.
You will be undergirded in prayer and love, and you have been loved, and we met with them this morning and talked with them this morning, and each one of them spoke about their home here at Main Street and how you have loved them and nurtured them through many different transitions. And we love them now, and we love you in this new transition, and look forward prayerfully maybe someday in your journeys to find your economic well-being back here in Greenwood and being a part of Main Street United Methodist Church as we continue to grow forward together.
If you would join us in your bulletin with the blessing of the graduates. We have passed on to you what we hold most dear.
We have listened, watched, and learned from you. Now we will use the tools you have given us to build our lives.
We will pray for you every time we think of you.
We will pray for you every time we think of you.
Commit yourselves to Christ and never forget his love for you.
We will remember and will respond to his call.
Be courageous and live.
We will live as you have taught us.
We will see. We have faith in you that you will remain true to this heart of Jesus and the word of God. We will be praying for you as all through the days of your life. May God be ever present with you and lead you in the paths of righteousness.
benediction is a responsive benediction in your bulletin. There is a people sent from God whose name is Hope. There is a people sent from God whose name is Love.
And the people named Love shall bear witness to life.
There is a people sent from God whose name is Life.
And the